following program is brought to you by your friends at TheForce.net.
Oh, Maxie bit the Force.
And RebelScum.com.
You Rebel Scum.
The galaxy is listening.
Who need that? No, no, no. Alawa. Who need that?
Welcome to the Forcecast, your weekly dose of Star Wars news and much more.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe. I suggest we use it.
All systems have been alerted to your presence, sir.
Check it out, Corporal.
Roger, roger.
Now, your hosts of the Forcecast, Jason and Pete.
We would be honored if you would join us.
Trained monkeys we have here on the Forcecast. Oh, man.
Oh.
It's Insanity 30.
It is so much funnier to sit here and watch in the studio.
I was just thinking.
What? Were you actually? Because
no,
I was pretty sure that you weren't.
I wasn't. I was thinking that I dropped these headphones one too many times. How many times do I drop them every week?
Right.
And so they're... But you're getting that funky sound thing going on too?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and that whole thing about us talking into microphones that weren't plugged in, yeah, that didn't help either. Welcome to the Forcecast once again.
You know, we never had this problem until we started doing the show live. And now, you know, it's like...
We did, but it was just always like, oops, the mics aren't plugged in, ha-ha, and we plug them in. Now
yeah,
it's
maybe
like,
that's what it was.
Get to it!
Right, right. But now it's it means so much more. Welcome to the Forcecast, this week's episode for August 24th. It actually is the 24th. There was some confusion on our show notes.
Yes.
I was posting to the 17th.
Last week. Yeah.
Yeah. And well. So we went to this week's show notes, and there weren't any. So we had to improvise just a little bit. But anyway, thank you for being here. For those of you listening live via talkshoe.com, welcome. We appreciate it. I know that the sound quality isn't perfect. That's okay. We're all in the same boat because it's not doing it for me right now. It's really weird.
Yeah.
It's going in and out.
And speaking
out.
Of not perfect, we do have to apologize for the last 10 minutes of last week's podcast. We did have another technical difficulty, which caused us to lose last part of the show, but
that's right.
The nice thing was we did have a backup. It wasn't as great a quality as we're used to, but we didn't lose any of that content of the show that was so great. So we apologize about the quality, but it was good just to make sure that we had the actual content.
Well, we had to make a decision. I mean, there was like you said, there's content, and that we just didn't want to lose, and we kind of sacrificed the sound quality. To make sure that content wasn't lost forever. Can you imagine? Into the ether.
Oh.
Gone. All those great comments about the prequel trilogy versus the original trilogy.
It's a nightmare.
It was a great discussion.
Yes, we had a lot of fun doing that.
Still, we're getting a lot of different opinions, a lot of different folks sending us emails. Really interesting about how the new generation of Star Wars fans feel. It may surprise you. You know, we're talking about the generation that was 7, 8, 9, 10 years old when Episode 1 came out. And, you know, it's definitely from a certain point of view.
Yes.
We'll put it that way, which you feel is better. And then, we have... the folks that say, you know what, it doesn't matter which is better. There's not one that's better than the other. They're all part of the same story. They're all part of the whole saga. But we'll share some more of those, some of those thoughts and some of those comments towards the end of the show. Want to say thank you to our official sponsor, Official Picks. They are aptly named, officialpicks.com. You can check them out for all of your Star Wars autograph and photograph needs. Officialpicks.com. That's picks with an X.com. And you know, wanted to also mention that we did put out a microcast earlier this week with the guys, or I guess it was Monday. It came out Monday with the guys from Imperial Holonet Radio, Bill and CJ.
Yes.
And we had a great time. We were actually at the Ohio Star Wars Collectors Club. Yeah, you're looking at me like, so what's going on?
Yeah.
It's like shifting left and right, left and right. Oh, well. We'll muddle through.
We hope.
Just listen through one ear. Anyway, the Star Wars Collectors Club, it was in Boardman, Ohio.
And, yes.
I've never been to Boardman before.
I have.
I'd been to Youngstown, and it's sort of like not quite Youngstown, but it's really
a nice
town.
It was a very nice area.
We were relieved as we were driving into the park where the social was gathering. There was a Toys R Us, stone's throw away. There was a Target. So, I mean, exactly what you would expect for the Star Wars Collectors Club.
If you're going to have a Collector Club meeting, you've got to have it centrally located.
That's right.
Amongst all the shopping stops.
Right, and so we met up with CJ and Bill, and we did sort of a little joint podcast, and I got to interview Dustin, and got to interview Chris, who is the founder, Chris Fawcett, the founder of the Ohio Star Wars Collectors Club, and I'm so impressed with that event. I mean, they called it a mini convention, and it's exactly what it was.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We had a great time. I wish we could have stayed longer, but that, of course, was my fault. So,
well. It's really your fiance's fault. Yeah,
well, you know, there are certain things that you can't pass on once you've decided to get married. One of them is the mother-in-law's birthday.
You can't take a rain check on that one?
That doesn't end well. So
you say, honey, do you know who I am?
And there's some young kids out there going, oh, that's not how it should be. And there's a couple, and everybody else is going, yeah, you just wait.
You'll be there too someday.
There's a lot of people nodding their heads at this point.
Well, it's funny that you bring that up. You also have a situation going on right now. And I had asked Pete, I said, did you get your Asajj Ventress from Sideshow? Because I know that you are a big fan of the Sith.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of your focus areas as a collector. And what did you tell me?
I said, no, I haven't taken it out of the package. I have it, but I haven't taken it out of the package because I'm putting them all away. And here's the scenario. You know, I'm fixing up, for those of you that haven't heard, hopefully everybody's heard, but I am engaged to be married, and we are looking to buy a house probably before we buy... I won't let you guys cast judgment on
you
me as
what?
Far as us moving in before we get married. But anyway...
Purely for economic reasons.
Yes, exactly. We'll have separate rooms with separate beds. But anyway, so I have to start getting my own house prepared to sell. And one of the things I thought was, if I'm going to have people going through my house, I don't want to have any of my collectibles out for thieving little hands.
Okay.
So I decided I've got to start putting this stuff away. And so I had some friends come over to help me the other day. And while I was doing construction projects, you know, replacing the toilet and fixtures and all sorts of other stuff, I asked them to put away my Sideshow 12-inch figures. I brought down all the boxes. I said, here, would you please put these away? Because I knew if I left it to myself to do it, I would keep passing on it and go, no, they're not really in the way. They're not really a problem. Nobody's going to take them. You know, I could do that later. And I would keep putting it off because I wouldn't want to do it because of what it would signify. So I decided I'd just let somebody else go ahead and do it. And I also started pulling down posters and things in my Star Wars room. And so it begins, the beginning of the end of my Star Wars saga.
Well, do you think in the new place there's going to be, is it?
Part of the deal is that I get the basement. So
you're looking for like a finished basement,
yeah,
right?
A finished basement, right. Where I can, somewhat like yours, where you can put up a studio if you want, or put up your Star Wars thing. So I'm looking forward to trying to find something that's got some capacity, but I know there's no way I'm going to get the volume of stuff displayed that I had before.
Yeah. It's a
single tier.
I feel so sad for you. Is your tour of your room still up at
yes,
YouTube?
So it is immortalized there.
Right. So go there now. You'll never see it.
It will never be shown again. You know, it's kind of like the Donkey Boy. Never to be seen on planet Earth again.
Well, you know, I, gosh, I didn't get to see it before the big teardown.
Oh.
We should have recorded the show live from your room before. Yeah.
Well, there's still a lot of stuff up there, so we'll do that next week.
Yeah, that would be cool. That'd be very cool. Okay, so Billy D,
I'm licking my chops at this one.
What can you say? We have not listened to this ahead of time. The Billy D clip of the week from his star turn in the evening soap opera Night Shift, the spinoff of General Hospital. I haven't listened to this clip. We wanted our reactions to be fresh. It must be good because Jimmy Mack sent it. And he says, you know, I can't even explain this clip, but this show's whack. What can I say? It's whack. So here we go. Here is Billy D in Night Shift.
The Jackal has pity in his heart. I even tried to reach out and make a cosmic connection.
In other words, you talk the poor man's ear off.
Well, see, the Jackal has a long and troubled history with those of the Jester persuasion, but I poured my heart out to him, and the Painted One didn't respond.
Well, sometimes a man needs some quiet in his own mind.
Wow. It was an utterance worthy of Stone Cold.
Maybe your clown needs a friend.
My mission is clear. Thank you, wise one.
All right, I...
In the immortal words of Bart Simpson, what the hell is going on? That is insanity.
Wait a minute, but the best part is maybe your clown needs a friend. Can I get a t-shirt made that says that? Maybe your clown needs a friend. That's like deep thoughts.
That is deep thoughts.
Does your clown need a friend?
Oh man.
Oh my God.
I'm going to have to go back and try and find an episode of this. Just, I mean, this is getting to the point of just absolute ridiculousness. I mean, that whole quote was in a different time zone, man.
Who knows? Who knows? I'm going to be so disappointed if they cancel this show because
we need you, Billy D.
It is such great fodder for the Forcecast, I have to say. And we're stockpiling the quotes.
Yes.
So even if the show may be canceled, but it will go on.
It will live on in infamy.
Anyway, so thanks to Jimmy Mack for sending that in. We've got some headlines coming your way right now.
I have good news for you, my lord.
That's good news.
Come closer, I have good news.
All right, we want to send out give out the phone number to call here as we record the show live on Wednesday. The phone number to call is 724-444-7444. Again, that's 724-444-7444. You can call us from any landline or cell phone. Skype works also. It's not quite as good as the cell phone or the landline. The show ID number is 46670. Again, that's 46670. You will need a TalkShoe password or PIN number, so you have to register at TalkShoe.com. You can just listen if you want, or you can participate through our chat. You download the small little TalkShoe application. Or you can, of course, give us a call and comment on the craziness.
It is kind of insanity 30 here at the Forcecast.
It is. And we've got a real mixed bag of news. And I use the term news loosely.
The barren plains of news.
Oh, my gosh.
This may have been the lightest week since we started doing this oh so long ago.
Yeah. But anyway, all right, let's... the show notes are just have a mind of their own. This first story, actually, I think is pretty interesting. Over at theforce.net, what's up with Disney and George Lucas? Again, from theforce.net, rumor alert. All right, so basically there are some, there's a number of Lucas-Disney happenings over at the website here of Jim Hill. And let's see, what is that site? Let's go there and see what happens. Jim Hill Media. Okay. Aptly named site. But at any rate, there's some things happening where it may be an indicator of some larger things.
Mm-hmm.
For example, it does not look like Disneyland's Indiana Jones Adventure Ride will be coming to Disney Hollywood Studios, the renamed MGM theme park. So that's not a big deal. That's a negative. But look for George Lucas's presence to expand within the park to coincide with the Star Tours update. So I think it's pretty well conceded that there will be. We've not seen a press release yet, but it's all but in, I would imagine.
Yes.
A Star Tours update. And additions to the Living Character Initiative.
Now, does that mean George Lucas is an addition to the Living Character Initiative?
I think that would be great.
In his flannel.
I think that'd be great.
Waving to people?
Yeah, I absolutely think so. I think that they should have George likes, but it's got to be like Mickey. You can never see them twice, you know, in the same place.
Right.
And so they're saying the idea is you get your picture taken with Mickey and Vader.
Mm.
All right. So the Living Character Initiative. A new scene or two could be swapped out in the Indiana Jones Epic Stunt Spectacular to incorporate something from Indy 4.
Mm-hmm. Smart thinking.
Many props in the Backlot Express eatery are going to be swapped out with Lucasfilm replicas and props.
Nice.
Okay. Lucas and Disney, this is the most important one in my opinion. Lucas and Disney may be talking about broadcast rights to the live-action TV series. Why not when you can introduce the characters at Star Wars weekends? News Corp may also be in the running. So that, in a nutshell, as it says, according to the Force.net, are the that's the total sum of these rumors that are, again, being reported over at this Jim Hill Media website. So what do we have? We have the potential of a stronger relationship between Star Wars and Disney. What do you think?
I think that would be a good move. I mean, Disney owns ABC and ESPN. So we could potentially see the live-action TV series on ESPN, which would be a good programming move for them. Or maybe it'll just show up on ABC. I guess maybe that would be a little bit stronger.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking, when I was reading the story, I was like, oh gosh, the live-action TV series on Disney Channel?
The Disney Channel.
Yeah, I was like, High School Musical 2, or, well, by that time, it'd be like 8.
Yes.
You know.
And Hannah Montana.
The kids will be like 30-some years old. Right.
That's so Raven plays Leia's long lost friend,
Billy Dee's long lost daughter.
That's what so have Raven. We here?
Your clown needs a friend. No, that's what I was initially thinking.
Sure.
And of course, Disney does own ABC. They have the ABC Family channel.
Mm-hmm.
But even still, does the live action Star Wars TV series make sense? Do you picture it being on one of the big three or the big four networks?
I do. I actually do. I see it as something that Fox would be very interested in.
Yeah, Fox maybe.
Just because they've done things like that before. They actually, you know, even though they didn't let it last very long, they did premiere Firefly, which was a live action.
But look what happened to Firefly.
Well, and that was their mistake. I don't think George would let that happen to the Star Wars live-action TV series. I think if you go into it, he's saying, look, you're putting this on for 100 episodes, whether you like it or not. So you're in for a penny, you're in for a pound, unlike some of these other shows that you're bringing in where you do a pilot and the studio goes, well, maybe we'll pick this up for a season. He's going to say, look, you buy the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if he doesn't get one, he'll just make his own network. We know that's how he works. But, you know, that's kind of how I foresee the whole thing playing out. And... You know,
I mean, Fox, I'll give you, but not ABC.
Well, but
I just don't see any of. I don't see NBC, ABC, or CBS. You know, really having the what it takes to support a show like that. I mean,
my only concern
you could maybe
is
make the argument with Heroes and Lost to an extent, but I mean, right. It's not sci-fi. Major networks have never been really friendly to sci-fi.
No, you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right on that. And but this is obviously a different level. Of sci-fi. This is something that's going to really kind of turn things on its ear because it's a major movie franchise that is coming from the big screen to the small screen for the very first time.
Yeah.
You know, there was always that mix for Star Trek, so that was always kind of a little bit different. So this is going to be, I think it's
well,
going to
and it's Star Trek. I mean, really, aside from the original series, the rest of it was syndication.
Yeah,
Next Generation and the subsequent series were all syndication, and that's kind of where I kind of saw this either happening in syndication or through you know, a cable network like Sci-Fi, or maybe even FX.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it would be a better fit, particularly given the fact that what we've heard from Lucasfilm or George is that the series is going to be very grown up in its style. I don't know.
It's hard to envision at this point. But you know, I mean, at this point, what do they have to lose by going back to the whole sci-fi genre? I mean, they've seen the success in the theaters of superheroes and heroes, and starting to see that type of things start to really rebound. And I mean, when you're putting that up there, do we really need another reality show in its stead? Because you know that's what we're going to get.
Unless it's a reality Star Wars show.
Well, there you go.
Of some kind.
And this just brings so much more hype with it that, you know, it's such an established property that you can sell.
Yeah, but that can also
network.
Work against it too, because the expectations are so high.
Right. Well,
and we talked about that last week with the prequels. You know?
It's going to be there's going to be a lot of criticism of it, and not a lot of it's going to be very pleasant.
I think the headlines are already written.
But
Star Wars does not translate well to the small screen.
Right.
I think that a lot of critics they write the headline before they even see the
and has our friend. Andy Millman has told us, you know, critics don't necessarily equal ratings. Those two are independently mutually exclusive. Yes, you can have a critically panned show, but yet still have commercial success. So, I mean, we know there's the market out there. We know that there's going to be people that are going to watch it. And I think it only makes sense that it's on a major network. And but, you know, it doesn't really.
Just let me download it.
Yeah, the whole thing that's
no
been,
commercials. You know, I don't want commercials in my Star Wars.
But by then, everything's going to be downloads anyway.
It very well may be.
So, but I have to go back to our original story, which we're quite far from. But you know, I love to hear the updates about this because you know I'm anxious still to get down to Disney and see the Star Tours ride and all the other things that they have going on. But I just still can't get past the idea that a Star Wars theme park would not be the bee's knees. I mean, I have thought it out in my head. I mean, there's an Endor park where you can go and hang out, and there's trees to climb and everything else like that. And you know,
well, they already have something like that, don't they? They have an Endor. I mean, it's not quite as expansive as I think what you're describing, but they do have
right.
an Endor.
I'm talking
something.
About. You
I haven't
know,
been there.
Swiss so. Family Robinson type thing.
Oh, right. Yeah. You know? Like true to scale. Like
yeah. There's
the real know, Ewok village.
There's 15% of the people that are going. Yeah, I know about that. And everybody else is going, huh? Swiss Family Robinson. But you know, I mean, you can have a whole Kamino world. I mean, there's so many worlds in the Star Wars universe that you can follow
yeah,
it around.
That would be cool. That would be
and
kind of can, like the all the different countries that they have in
right in Epcot.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I'm so deprived. I'm 29 years old, and I've never been to any of the major parks. None of them. I haven't been to Disney World, Disneyland. I haven't been to MGM Studios. I haven't been to Universal. I haven't been to any of these.
It's unthinkable.
No, it's quite...
It's outrageous.
That's what it is.
Yes.
Thanks for the cue. I appreciate
no
that.
No problem. I'm gonna smile.
Yeah, but getting back, like you said, to the major point here, what do we have to make about the Disneyfication of Star Wars or the Star Warsification of Disney? You know, what's the end game here? It's you know, Lucas is such an entity of his own, such a property of his own. It's hard to imagine there really being any real advantage or upside for either one. I guess to me, it seems like it's a little bit more of a plus for Disney
because you're doing a Star Wars podcast.
Yes, there it comes back. The point of view, doesn't
right,
it? Always
it
comes back to that. I guess thinking that, of course, I Disney probably doesn't have any problems bringing the you know, older, not old people, but you know, like, the tweeners and the people my age. I haven't been there.
No, I mean
it's not on my list. It's really not on my, you know, my wife and I, it's not on our list of like, we got to go, but Dan Curto just went. Last week, or a couple weeks ago. So I don't know. I was just thinking, well, maybe it's a great way to start getting, you know, build attractions within the park that are beyond just the kids that are into the cartoons and all of that. But
I think it's one of those things that is advantageous for both parties as long as they don't get in each other's way.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where my fear is a little bit, is that, you know, I mean,
where does Mickey end and Darth Vader start? Right.
Yeah. Exactly. So I'm not too concerned about it. I think if it's ever one of those things, I think they have a relationship at this point where if it's ever one of those things where they do start to get in each other's way, they'll kind of cut ties and just kind of go their own separate ways. So I don't know. I think we'll wait and see on it. But, you know, I think it's only something that can benefit either one of them.
I suppose so. It just seems kind of strange.
Yes.
I just don't want Disney logos on my toys.
Now, you say that, but you are hot after some of the Star Wars.
Yeah,
Disney
the hybrid
things.
Toys. Yes. Yeah, I am. That's true. I had the same feeling when Disney kind of took over the Muppets, which turned out to be a good thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as far as merchandising, you know, when it was being controlled by the Henson Studios, and it just didn't quite, they weren't hitting it. They weren't getting the merchandise out there, and they're, now, ever since Disney there's a partnership there. It's not like Disney owns the characters. There's some sort of an agreement.
Right.
And I would imagine there'd be something very similar in place for Star Wars that at any point Lucas can pull out if he doesn't feel that he's being treated fairly. But at any rate, so there you go. More of the, the Disneyfication of Star Wars and vice versa. So I got to ask, what is with all these polls coming out of the UK? It seems like all of these stories that, you know, where there's a poll of your favorite sci-fi film or your least favorite sci-fi film or whatever, always comes out of one of these UK sites.
Well, you know, it's a good way to attract people to come back to your site. But it's also, you know, maybe it's just one of our readers or some of the readers of TFN are a little more active to see that in the UK. Or maybe Star Wars is just more popular in the UK. How dare I even say that?
No. But I think you're right. I mean, it's a great way to bring people to your site. I think that's really what it amounts to, because it gets people jazzed up and they want to vote for their favorites or their least favorites. So where does Star Wars rate? Well, I don't know. We're kind of all over the map on some of these polls, but the latest that we saw here, the most unconvincing on-screen chemistry. How's that for a poll? Over at, there's a website here, newsletter.co.uk has a story about a poll about, well, who has the, you know, the least amount of chemistry on screen. And it was Star Wars duo Natalie Portman and Hayden Christensen. They've been voted the movie couple with the most unconvincing. Now, words matter. Words mean things here. So unconvincing on-screen chemistry. Their romance in Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones, tops a poll which features movie pairings like Kate Beckinsale and Ben Affleck and Andy McDowell and Hugh Grant. Huh.
Hmm.
Interesting. Keira Knightley and Orlando Bloom were the highest Britons on the list in the third place thanks to their roles in Pirates of the Caribbean. Wow. Well, I don't agree with this. I actually don't think the problem was chemistry. I don't think that there was a lack of chemistry. In fact, I dare say I thought their chemistry was actually pretty good. They looked like a very convincing couple to me, particularly in episode two. You know, we had the discussion last week about the dialogue. I would say if anything put a, you know, any barriers between the two characters or the two actors as far as their chemistry, it was the dialogue. I think despite the dialogue, they did a remarkably great job.
I think they did a fine job. And let's be honest here, this isn't a surprise. You know, it's not like anybody looks at episode two and three as great love stories. And that's the point. Although there is a love
George
story.
George considers episode two the love story of the saga.
Well, there's a love story component of it. And I know that he of the Star Wars saga, but the point of Star Wars and the point of those movies is never a love drama. you know, there's always a part of it because that is something that can draw you in. That is part of the, you know, antagonism and part of the story as it's presented. But that's not the point of the story. Some of these other films that they're talking about, the point of the story is this romantic relationship between these two people.
Like in Pearl Harbor with Beckinsale and Affleck. And yeah.
Right. I mean, where they really are you know, or the one with Andy McDowell and Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Yeah.
You know, Andy McDowell and Hugh Grant, is a romantic comedy.
I thought they were going to say Andy McDowell and Gerard Depardieu.
Were they ever in a movie together?
Yes, they were in a movie together. Boy, I'm really getting obscure today. But yes, they were. They were in that movie Green Card. Okay. I can tell by the sounds of the crickets.
Yes.
Back to Hayden and Natalie.
Yes, anyway.
You were defending them or were you attacking them?
Well,
I can't tell.
I honestly did not think that their chemistry was fantastic. I mean, it didn't convince me that they were completely in love. But again, it was a dialogue thing. It was a story pace thing. And it was more a, you know, if you wanted to tell that story, if you wanted to pull that story out and just tell that story with those same two actors, you could do a very convincing love story with them and put them into a position where they
could
be.
So you're saying it was not a reflection of the actors?
No.
It was a reflection of just where that ranked
just
in
where
the priorities of the story. And,
right.
And
just where it
like,
fell in the story, yeah. where things were at and,
okay.
you know, and what was going on. I just think that they were...
Surely someone hasn't. I see that on the chat here at TalkShoe that they're talking about this. Who do we got? We got one says, "Well, I never knew what she saw in Anakin anyway."
Well, she saw a love of convenience.
He could make pears float.
Yes, that's right. He and
she could stab them out of the air with her fork. It was
Obi-Wan
exciting.
Would be very grumpy.
He'd be grumpy if he saw this pole, I tell you that.
No, he'd be going, I thought so. I told him several times.
Well, if you want to be part of the action, give us a call. Cell phone or landline, 724-444-7444. There's a lot of fours in this. 46670 is the show ID. And, of course, you have to work out the password or your own PIN number with TalkShoe.com. I have to say that... In the end, I think that it came down to a rushed pacing, as far as the story, the love story goes, and it came down to some pretty poor dialogue.
Yes.
But I thought there was quite a bit of tension between the two of them. I think that, especially in episode two, there were he was a little creepy kind of in his obsession with her. It was a little, it wasn't healthy, but I bought into it.
Oh, yeah.
I bought into it. And the age thing worked for me because I could see that kind of hero worship, that kind of, it's not quite a May-December thing, but I mean, they weren't that different in age.
Right.
You know, when you're 10 and she's 16, you know, or 15, it's a big deal. But when you're 18 and she's 23, it's you know, what is it?
I'm going to go ahead and step in and say we need to step out of this creepiness a little bit. and maybe do. I don't know what you're defending here, but this whole age thing.
Wait a minute. I'm defending the age difference between Anakin and Padme. That's what I'm talking
right.
about.
And they aren't. They don't have to follow the rules of.
That's right.
You know,
it's a long
society,
time ago in a
yes.
galaxy far, far away. I mean,
you know,
my
they
gosh.
Married at 10 most of the year, you know, on Tatooine. You know, right. I mean, it was arranged marriages. There were dowries of cows and moisture farms.
Right. Dogs and cats living together.
That's right. Utter chaos.
Well, anyway, if you'd like to be part of the action, get in the queue. We'd love to have you on. So I don't, I say no. I say that I've seen worse screen chemistry. Than Natalie and Hayden. And
well, I think they're just easy targets, and we've seen that you know, being such a highly revered franchise, if you're one of the top dogs, you're gonna
they love
catch
to pick
critics.
On Star Wars and these things.
Yeah,
you know, and I didn't see the beginnings of the poll if they, you know, I mean, they were specifically chosen or whatever,
right?
But anyway, I Stop picking on Star Wars. Stop picking on Star Wars.
Sounds like your clown could use a friend.
Last week we were talking about in this prequel versus original trilogy debate that sort of got sparked by the email that we received. We were talking about directors, and I think it was Chris Macht of The Force Among Us. By the way, the DVDs are out. Pete got his in the mail.
I've got mine and my vial of sand. Thank you very much, Chris, and Courtney, and everybody that was involved.
There you go. Chris had made the claim that, you know, perhaps it was the directors that made a difference in Empire and Jedi, and why they stand out in the whole saga as superior films. And there's a story about what might have been. What if David Lynch had directed Return of the Jedi?
Now school everyone on who David Lynch is, because I needed to be schooled myself.
Well, David Lynch is the creator of, I mean, as I know him, of he's done a lot of obscure films, but probably best well known for Twin Peaks, the creator of that series. I never watched it. Talk about creepy. Leave that. I just can't get over Kyle MacLachlan. He looks too much like Katie Lang for me. and that whole dynamic's really crazy.
Yeah, that's going to kill.
But anyway, you know, I mean, he's an eccentric director.
Very eccentric.
Clearly, I mean, he's not what you would consider a mainstream, Bob Zemeckis or Spielberg or, somebody like that. Not even Coppola. I mean, he's a little out there. Not quite Ed Wood, but, you know, I mean, somewhere in between, I guess. But there was an interview over at MTV.com, because I guess there's a Twin Peaks box set coming out. And in the interview, it said, "Is it true that you almost directed Return of the Jedi? How close did you come?" Lynch said, "Not close at all. I had a meeting with George. I like George. It was his thing. I said, you should direct this. It's your thing. It's not my thing." MTV asked, "Did he flat out offer it to you at the time?" Lynch says, "Yeah." And then MTV says, "But you immediately declined." And Lynch says, "I called him the next day." So he did consider it. I mean, there was, you know, he didn't immediately say no. But can you imagine the twistedness? Although the whole, you know, Leia being Luke's sister, you know, it does sound like something out of an episode of Twin Peaks, perhaps. But
yes,
I thought that it was David Lynch that had brought us The Crying Game. So I pictured a totally different ending to Return of the Jedi.
Yes.
When he took off the mask of Darth Vader, but apparently yes, that wasn't David Lynch that did The Crying Game. I don't know why I thought that.
Well, but I mean,
it's in his wheelhouse. It seems like something he would do. Yeah, that's the kind of director we're talking about.
That could be over the plate, you know, and I had to laugh because Bonnie Burton of Lucasfilm commented on the story, and she said, would the Ewoks be dancing around to jazzy riffs in their red-draped tea houses talking backwards, and or something to that effect?
Right.
And I thought, I could see that. You know, there's always been some very odd pop culture references going back to Twin Peaks and some of the odd things that happened. And
yeah,
I know there's a very funny one in Family Guy where it shows two horses box trotting under the moonlight, and I just thought, now, there's something very obscure that could be taken even further in the Star Wars universe. So I can't say as I'm not all that disappointed that David Lynch said
definitely
no.
Not. Definitely not. I'm glad that it worked out the way it did with Return of the Jedi. But it is kind of interesting. What would have happened, if you can imagine. So enough of that. What do we have? Oh, you know, last week, Pete, you had mentioned, I think it was last week, about the Simpsons DVD box set.
Mm-hmm.
And the latest, I believe it's season 10, right?
Season 10.
Which features the episode,
Mayored to the Mob.
And, of course, that episode guest starred Mark Hamill. And as you pointed out last week, for the DVDs, they always do commentary for each episode, which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
There are a lot of series.
That's why they're only on season 10, and we're in season 15 for the actual show. So,
right. And I mean, I don't know how many sets do they do a year? Two? They
get two out? If they're lucky. If they're lucky. Usually, there's about 9 months between each release.
Mm. Okay.
So,
but at any rate, we got some clips of this commentary, and then of course the actual scenes that they're talking about. So here's the first clip. This is from Married to the Mob, the Simpsons episode with Mark Hamill.
And now to push this convention into hyperspace, the man who put the star in Star Wars, a real burr on the Darth Vader saddle, Luke Skywalker himself, Mark Hamill!
Hey, thanks, everybody. You know, I'm here today as Luke Skywalker, but I'm also here to talk about Sprint. As you can see, you stand to save up to 17 cents a month over the more dependable providers.
I talk about Star Wars! Yeah!
This is my favorite. I don't know why I love this so much.
I love that you took this little shot at yourself.
Exactly.
It was so incredibly cool.
I'm just a hack, but I'm also corporately sponsored. Anything for a buck. I'll also do bar mitzvahs and birthday parties. So. And Tress McNeil's nerd.
Talk about Star Wars.
Mark, pick me. My whole life has been leading to this moment.
I know that Lenny's whole life has been leading to this moment. He's the only one who didn't dress for the convention.
Groupies. Now, Luke, save me with the lightsaber and the wing.
This is one of our quickest riots also.
Yes. The gag, I need somebody to play Obi-Wan, and I think Skinner says, Kenobi?
Yeah. Is
there another one? Not the one from Wuthering Heights, is it?
Now, Dan, that's also you doing Dr. Smith, right?
Yes, Jonathan Harris.
Yeah.
Did you ever work with him?
I've met him, yeah.
Yeah,
he's a very nice man.
He was.
Very incredible.
And he told
character.
me, I just remembered one story where he had worked with Rex Harrison. He was in a play when he was doing theater. I said, oh, what was that like? Oh, he was a terrible man.
Terrible?
Really?
He's dishing dirt on Rex Harrison.
Yeah. Dude, what a horrible man.
What a horrible man.
Yeah, I've, you know, worked with him half a dozen times. He's passed away since.
Yeah.
What a character. And you know where he's born?
No.
Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was very surprised.
How did you get that from Brooklyn?
Well, you've heard the story where he was on a talk show. I was like, Merv Griffin. They said, are you British? He goes, no, dear boy, just affected.
So he was really honest.
Yeah. He's from Brooklyn?
Yes.
I've got your space rubies right here.
Hey, Jonathan, let's go watch the Dodgers.
Oh, no, not the Dodgers.
I'm practicing my elocution.
Oh, my God. Someone has to go back in for Maggie.
Forget Maggie. She's gone.
I think that's one of my favorite lines in the history of the show.
Forget Maggie.
She's gone. What? She's gone.
She's gone. Yes.
He's been like that all through the series. Later, I love the way he casually uses his Vulcan death group just to dispose of family members. Everybody's secret wish. Honey, can you take out the...
Plop.
You call yourselves bodyguards? You're fired!
Fired, huh?
Dan, I'll never forget the sight of you doing a scene between Quimby and Homer, and you did it simultaneously. I mean, some actors read all one character down the page and then the other character down the page. My mouth was hanging open. It was like watching a really skilled ventriloquist.
Well, we all do it. Harry talks as himself. Talks to Smithers and Burns. And...
Now, this is also Mark Hamill playing Lavelle the drill instructor.
And again, you hide behind a character, and you're not so self-conscious. This one I love doing, and I just really didn't like doing myself, so to speak.
Others like doing you, don't they?
Oh, I'm not going there. Oh, my gosh.
Now, this character was designed...
He looks like...
From the...
It's a grassy knoll.
Famous picture of...
Jack Ruby?
Jack and Ruby.
Jack Ruby killing Lee Harvey.
Lee Harvey but also. Oswald, he was the...
But the cart with the gun is from that...
Marshall or something.
What was the film that with Burt Lancaster? Executive Action.
Oh, I'm
where they go down to Mexico and practice the assassination. This whole episode's riddled with.
Well... And it goes on from there, I guess.
Yes.
Maybe we should have queued these up before. No, I mean, it's funny stuff. I could listen to that all day.
It really could. It was
the stuff
very
about Dr. Smith from Lost in Space. Just, no, dear boy, just affected.
Just affected. That's classic. That's very funny.
That's great. But we do have some more. I think these are shorter. This is great stuff. I mean, I think it's worth getting that set just, I mean, for that episode. and to have Mark talking about it. I want to get to the point where he talks about how he refuses to do conventions. Hope we got that clip. Wasn't that on there?
It was on there.
Yeah, how he didn't want to do conventions. Let's see. What is this?
Give me that knife.
Oh, it's mine.
Homer, use the fork.
The fork?
The forks. Use the forks.
Yes!
Okay, come on. You wrote the whole episode backwards.
No, that came very late.
Yeah, big phonies.
I actually had that idea in the room during the rewrite of first draft, so it was not in the original script.
Well, being married to a dental hygienist for over, you know, you can believe I've heard May the Floss Be With You.
Oh, yeah.
I've not heard that one. May the Floss Be With You.
Well, yes.
He's married to a dental hygienist? Is that what he said?
I guess.
Huh.
Maybe that's her day job. I thought he was married to a model. Another technical malfunction.
I had a microphone malfunction. I thought she was a model. I thought she was.
Hey, that's just her day job.
Did you see how when I turned it on, it smacked me in the mouth?
I did see that.
I tell you, not just anybody can do that.
That's on the blooper reel, my friend. With the Benny Hill music playing.
Well, let's see. I think we've got another clip here real quick from The Simpsons commentary with Mark Hamill.
It was a comment about The Simpsons that actually got me the audition that when I play the Joker on Batman, which is the first animation I did in 92. Right. And it was just in an interview, Andrea Romano said, oh, you know, because we were casting for Joker when Mark said there's no higher career goal he has than being on The Simpsons. It occurred to her that, you know, to bring me in. I mean, I'm not saying it got me the part. Obviously, I had to do a version that they liked. But I got up on my high horse when I read the script. I was all, I've never appeared in my costume for money, and when I do cons, I do it for new product, like my novel or blah blah blah. There's Dad, get over yourself. It's The Simpsons. Oh yeah, right.
Well, that doesn't sound too bad.
Oh, it was a little bit out of context.
That doesn't sound too bad. Now, where's the mean Mark Hamill that you portrayed to me?
Maybe I took a little bit of poetic license.
Did you overplay it?
I may have overplayed it a little bit, just because it was kind of fresh and recent in my mind. Listening to it again, it doesn't sound as much, but.
No, it sounds like I owe him an apology. If he'd ever come on the show, I could do that formally. But I think in the context of what he's saying there, you know, he read the script and then said, well, I don't do conventions. I don't do this. And then he's like, oh, wait a minute. Don't take myself so seriously. Just do the thing.
Well, and if it was
unless he has something new to come out.
Unless it was, in fact, him that said, don't take yourself so seriously.
Well,
unless it was somebody else that said, look, don't take yourself so seriously.
This is The Simpsons. This you haven't acted Simpsons. Since 83. I'm sorry, 85 with Amazing Stories.
Yes.
No, he's done other things. I'm kidding. Yes. I'm kidding.
We're hard on
Jay
Mark
and Silent
because
Bob
we love
Strike
him
back.
So much.
We do love him. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I've earned the right to be.
That's right.
You know.
And, you know, we'll meet him one day in person and he'll say, I heard what you said about you, about me. And then he'll punch me in the face.
Well, this
and we'll all be fun. You know, it'll all be good. I'll say I deserve that.
This is how seriously that he takes it.
Luke, be a Jedi tonight. Just be a Jedi tonight. Do it for Yoda while we serve our guests a soda. And do it for Chewie and the Ewoks. And all the other puppets. Luke, be a Jedi tonight.
And all the other puppets.
All the other puppets.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
And he wraps up the episode by saying, I was electric as Nathan Detroit, which is just hilarious.
Do you hear Mark Hamill say that? Who knows? He might have been in Guys and Dolls. I don't know. He did Amadeus on Broadway. I know that. I think he originated the role of Amadeus, I think, on Broadway.
All right. Well, as,
and then
as
was
a,
then was not chosen for the film.
Oh.
The star Tom Hulse. E. Whatever.
Yeah.
I take Mark's career over Tom Hulse.
I was going to say, I don't even know who that is. So.
Well, he did the voice of the Hunchback in Disney's Hunchback of Notre Dame.
You're still not speaking my language there. But,
all right. Well,
that officially ends our Mark Hamill bashing. I love him because he was on The Simpsons and, of course, because he's Luke Skywalker.
And I think that you were just trying to get my goat. You know I'm very sensitive when it comes to the Hamill.
Maybe I was. Yeah. Wink, wink, nod, nod.
All right. Tell us about the Star Wars, the Essential Atlas book.
Well, the Essential Atlas, and hopefully some of you out there may be familiar with the Essential Guide to Planets and Moons, which came out, I can't remember when that actually came out. But anyway, they're doing an updated version, and Daniel Wallace, revered Star Wars author, is going to author it along with Jason Fry. And it's going to be a much more comprehensive look into the Star Wars universe. And it's going to, in his own words, it's going to be light years ahead of the original. And he says he can say that because he is the one that wrote the book. He said, hey, it's my first book. You know, so we'll give him a little bit of credit on that. But basically what he said is it's going to, put in the book is going to be included equal parts cosmology, planet profiles, political structure, colonization, history, the sweep and scale of wars, and bulleted list presenting miscellaneous items of coolness. And, he goes on to kind of compare it to the Star Trek star charts, which are cool, but they're just charts. This is going to be an actual atlas. It's going to have, essential information about all of, well, maybe not all because that would be a huge book, but many of the planets and, their political structures and some very interesting things, I'm sure, that will come out in the whole history of the Star Wars universe. So
It's too much.
An absolutely ridiculous undertaking. So I give Daniel a lot of credit for doing that because that would be something that would just be crazy difficult to get everything together. And, again, fans out there, give him a little bit of leeway because there's the possibility he's going to miss something just because there's just so much there.
It's too much. It's too much detail. I don't want that much detail. I don't need that much detail about some of these lesser significant.
You may not, but there are people out there.
I
that
know
do,
there are
know.
People that
there,
do.
There are Naboo historians that need a little bit more information out there.
The Naboo
Get
historians
over
are
yourself.
The, no, the Naboo historians are the problem. I'm telling you, man, I have this theory that the EU is just going to implode on itself.
And we talked about this a little bit earlier.
Those who don't know their history are bound to repeat it.
I
have watched sci-fi franchises rise, and I've watched them fall. And this is it's too much.
Well, and I do tend to agree with you a little bit, but I think things have been reined in enough.
I gotta rewind.
That was like a big.
Were you stifling a burp or a yawn there?
It was all three.
But anyway, sorry. I didn't mean to cause
my voice cracked,
to it.
And I was like, all three. All right.
It
anyway,
was actually like you went into some kind of bizarre slow motion.
That's only happened to me once before. But anyway, yes, I think it's been reined in at least to a point where it will keep itself from imploding like a neutron star.
I don't know, man. I have high hopes for the animated series. I have high hopes for the TV series. But I just think sometimes, don't look too closely at some things. You ruin the magic. You don't want to know how the magician does his tricks. I don't need to know what kind of grass grows on Naboo. So I won't read it. But
well, there you
there
go.
Are people that will. Yes, but then we'll start debating about something and they'll say, well, Leia must remember her mother because there's a certain kind of grass that grows on Naboo. It's clearly in the Atlas. Didn't you read it? Then I have to say, And then there's that whole thing. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
It does affect me. It affects my world.
It does affect your world a little bit. You sounded kind of like a Sicilian there.
I'm merely getting started. I'm just getting started. Oh, man.
Anyway.
All right. Well,
but we'll leave that EU versus no EU debate for some other.
Oh, no. Wait. Now, wait a minute. Now,
all right.
Don't hamel me. Don't completely misrepresent what I say. I'm
you
not
have
saying
been hameled, my friend.
I'm not saying that it's EU versus non-EU. I'm just saying that there's a certain level of detail where it gets too much and ridiculous.
Touché.
I don't mind if it happens in a story. I can buy that. But when I got people throwing up encyclopedias and dictionaries and atlases at me, to try to, tell me why, something that I've thought for, 15 years, you know, about something that happened in one of the original trilogy films. Can't be true because some guy wrote some atlas. That's when I have a problem with it.
All right. All right. I'm envisioning.
Where's another, the Tylenol?
Another drink coming my way. So I'm just going to just bow down and say, okay.
All right. Okay, well, we do have, Pete, you've been keeping score on some of this feedback, so we'll have that in just a second.
You must contact me.
Play back the entire message.
What message?
Message after the message.
The Emperor commands you to make contact with him. It's a trick. Send no reply.
Well, since we started doing the show live on TalkShoe, we've had some good old-fashioned debate, not unlike what we just had there about the EU and how it just can't possibly sustain itself.
I don't even want to read the emails that are coming your direction this week.
I'm sure. Actually, we had an email. My favorite from last week was, what kind of idiot do you have on the Forcecast saying that Raiders of the Lost Ark is the weakest of the three? And I wrote back. It's like, you're taking this kind of personally, aren't you? I mean, like,
no.
we get into debates and we get upset with people, but we don't call people names.
Oh, you're taking it way too personally.
I am. I'm not the one that called someone an idiot. I mean, you know, maybe a boob or something, but idiot. I don't think so.
Yes, you're much more high class with
that's
boob
right.
There very well.
Right. But anyway, he was upset about that. I have since rewatched Temple of Doom, and I still stand by my answer. I got more out of Temple of Doom than I did out of Raiders. So there, haven't changed my mind. I'm still an idiot.
Well, and the nice thing about the Forcecast is everybody's opinion is taken into account. We don't necessarily have to worry about the smartest man in the room syndrome.
That's right. Not here.
I know. I don't have it because I can never make that claim. So, you know,
that's the
make
guy
sure
that's writing the Atlas. All right.
He's a nice guy.
All right. I know. There's nothing wrong with that. He's just
he's giving the fans what they want.
Doing his gig. All right, so you've been keeping score on the what we were talking about last week, which was the we got an email asking us what our official opinion was on the PT versus the OT. And Pete, how's it rack up?
Well,
what are you finding?
It's very interesting, and I want to thank and I'm going to miss some people because I was trying to keep track of it. But Ryan, Nate, Andy, Brett, Eric, Mike F, Mark, BL, Alex, and Simon. Those are the ones that I was able to capture in the hurried state that I was in trying to get things ready. But what I found is that the younger generation and, you know, these are kids that are, you know, right around the 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 range. You know, or I could have just said 14 to 20 range. Those kids, they have a much higher affinity for the prequels because of that was mostly their introduction into the Star Wars universe. So they hold them in a little bit higher regard as opposed to the original trilogy because, you know, those are something that they saw later
right.
on. So most of the younger generation does have a high affinity for the prequels. And I have to say this because I really thought this was a great comment by Brett. And he said he first saw the films with the special edition release when he was 9. And he feels that the prequels do hold up, and this great quote says, give them 30 years, and I think people will see them all as one excellent saga the way the Force intended.
It's unthinkable.
Sorry. I tend to agree with that. I think that as time goes on, they will be sort of looked upon more as one story. I think once we don't have shows like this anymore. Certainly.
Well, and you know, as the story continues to evolve, you know, with more from the live action series, more from the cartoon series and the video games that come out and everything that's going to happen subsequent, the story will start to get a little tighter and tighter around that area.
Who knows? We may have a debate 5 years from now saying what's better, the films or the TV series.
That's true.
You never know. But yeah, I mean, it is interesting that there's this generational gap.
And I think we always sense that, and we you get a sense of that in The Force Among Us, you know, the film by Chris Macht, and you know you get a sense of that dissect because there is a younger kid who really enjoys the prequels, and I think as you know that younger generation kind of comes up, that it'll be more indoctrinated into what they're following.
Well, and then there's the folks that don't, and you know, that really hate characters like Jar Jar Binks.
It's just insane for him to say that this was just for the fans, because it is damn well not for any of the fans. For him to put all Jar Jar Binks, especially, oh, George Lucas, oh, me's a Jar Jar, me's a big failure to the fans, oh, they should shoot me in me's a face.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Someone needs to not take it so personally. Well, you know, what can you do? If you haven't seen the film, Force Among Us, pick it up, because it's interesting to get some of these comments, and they're very spirited.
Yes.
And heated.
Even more so than we are.
Right, right, right. Very much so. And some of it maybe gets a little out of line, but you know what? That's what movies are about. I mean it gives the documentary a sense of drama and whatnot, and you know, people are just kind of popping off, and it's a forum, it's an opportunity for them to kind of let off some steam. Clearly, as this guy has an unreasonable hatred of Jar Jar Binks, but yeah, getting back to the generational shift, I mean, to be honest with you, I'm glad that you have a younger set of folks out there that are impassioned fans of the saga. It's going to make sure that there are figures on the pegs. It's going to ensure that there are new books to be written, atlases, even all those kinds of things that will continue this franchise. And so it's good, and we don't have to agree with them all.
No, and that's the other thing, is that everybody's entitled to their opinion, and there was one real good one that was basically, Mike from England, who basically said, hey, look, everyone is entitled to their opinion, and everyone's going to differ, because that is the point of art itself. Art is subject to interpretation. I mean, you know, that's just the way things are, the way the world is. And so everybody's going to have a different opinion on it. And, you know, some people are going to be, you know, blindly faithful to the original trilogy, and some are going to be the opposite. And then some people are just going to meld the two. And, yeah. You know, it's all going to be one story eventually. Eventually, you know, when our kids, yours and mine, start to grow up with the saga, it's all going to be one story, because they don't have to wait any time to see them.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
You know, future generations are all going to see this as one story, and they're going to see the TV series and get back into the films and find out what's going on, and it's all going to start revolving in a completely different way that we haven't even thought about yet. So,
well, I remember when the prequels were you know, coming out, and Lucas would say, you know, as far as, you know, the order in which people watched them and how it was going to completely change your perception. I'm surprised how true that is, because, mm-hmm. I mean, I think we've got the perception as being, I mean, there's something to be said for, say maybe to a kid, the original films have a certain dated quality to them. I personally don't find them dated.
No.
You know, except from Luke's hair.
feathered hair.
I don't find it all that dated, but maybe, you know, to young eyes that are used to that kind of video game eye candy of the prequels, that it, you know, there is something lacking.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like to think that in my heart of hearts I consider it all one story and don't think about which one's better. I mean, I have my preferences as far as individual films, but I go through phases, like I've said before.
Yeah, I do as well. And, you know, it's just a matter of what I'm feeling that day, you know, as to which one might be my favorite. And, you know, again, I was thinking about this earlier when we were kind of discussing it. You know, the perspective, your perspective definitely changes as you get older. When I was younger, there was no doubt that Return of the Jedi was my favorite one. By far, mm-hmm. without even question, I watched that one over and over and over again. But as I've gotten older, I've gotten to appreciate the depth of the story in Empire Strikes Back, and for a while that took over as my favorite film.
Right,
and now it kind of rotates on a weekly basis. just depending on how you catch me that day, whether I'm interested in being a Jedi or a scoundrel.
You know, a lot of times
or...
it depends on which one I'm watching at that time.
Yeah.
Because I'm sitting there anticipating all the cool scenes that, you know, coming up. And I think, not. Yeah, I love this one. This one's my favorite.
Right.
Yeah. But I don't think that this question's ever going to be...
No,
to be settled.
It's an age-old debate that is going to continue on through the ages. And, you know, if we're lucky enough to still be doing this years and years from now, we'll probably still run into it again and again and again, and there's no right answer.
It'll be our generation, of course, that keeps hashing it up.
That's right.
You don't know what you're talking about, you young whippersnappers. All right, for those of you that are listening live, you got an opportunity to give us a call about any of the topics that we've brought up in this week's show. Could be anything. It could be Billy Dee. It could be Hayden and Natalie. It could be
your
Disney and Star Wars. Your
unbridled hatred towards the Atlas.
So give us a call, 724-444-7444.
Mm-hmm.
46670. Is the talk ID for this particular show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Marr.
All right. Well, there you have it. Kind of a slow news week in general, I would say. What about listener mail? Do we get any good emails this week?
Well, we did get a very cool email from our good friend Eric in Maryland, who we hadn't heard from in a while, so we were glad to hear from him. And he found a new site, which I thought was kind of cool. It seems like it's pretty fun. It's Thought Market, spelled thotmarket.com. And what it is you can take online entities and you register them on there, and then you can buy and sell and trade
like
stock.
Like a company.
Yeah. Like
you're setting up kind of a fake company.
Yeah, like a fake company and buy and sell stock based on the popularity of said entities. And so Eric set up one for the Forcecast, and you can find it by doing a search for, let's see, what is it?
I found it by doing search for Star Wars, actually.
I searched for Star Wars, and that's how I found it, too. But you can also do it by searching for Force-Cast
right
on there.
How's our stock?
And our stock, now, I have to say that I hopped on this when he sent us it, and I thought it was very cool. And I bought a bunch of shares at 3 cents. I thought, oh, this is going to be fun. Less than 48 hours later, take a guess at what our stock price is. Thinking that, you know, it was 3 cents.
Well, I know they went on the forums and posted it there.
Yes.
You bought it at 3 cents?
I bought in at $3.25. It is at $4.65, my friend.
Wow.
Yes.
All right. So what does that translate into dollars? You bought how many shares for 3 cents a piece?
I bought 500 shares at 3 cents a piece.
And where? Okay.
And so my stock valuation, I've bought some subsequent shares at higher prices because I'm in with the Forcecast thing, man.
Okay.
I'm
so how much of an account do you start out with?
With $100.
$100.
And
did you did you go all in with Forcecast?
I didn't actually.
Oh, okay.
I have now.
You're all in.
I didn't start at the start, but now my account valuation is at $2,543.
Wow.
So I am rolling in the virtual dough as it is right now. If only I could get that to translate into anything actually real, I wouldn't have to send back my Leia sideshow. Damn. Anyway,
well,
I digress.
On that note, we've got a caller, and you are on with the Forcecast. Hello. Yeah.
You have me?
Yeah, we've got you. Welcome.
Okay, so... Thanks. So I'm in the chat, and so they wanted me to ask a few questions from the chat that came up.
They who's they?
The chat guys?
let's see. I'm just going to mention them, so please don't hate me. Hollis Jawa, Nate the Great, and probably a few other people. But
that's a motley crew, let me tell you.
Some of our faves.
No, that's great. Okay, what questions do you have?
Okay, first off, they want to talk about the order in which you actually watch the films.
Hmm.
Oh.
And
I can our preferred method order of watching the films, or how we actually experienced it.
Well, the order in which you watched it and how it's affected you and the saga.
Well, that's for me. The first one that I have memory of is it's hard. It's hard to remember clearly, but the first one that I remember is Return of the Jedi. That's the first one I have strong memories of. And then, but I remember having the toys. That's what screws me up. I had an older brother who had the toys. And so I kind of always had it going on in my house. So I saw Jedi, and then Star Wars came on HBO, and we didn't have HBO. So we went over to our cousin's house to watch HBO so we could see the, episode 4. And there was a year, at least a year, that I missed this major piece of the puzzle, the middle part. So I saw 6, 4, and 5, and which was actually kind of a cool way to experience it in a way. And then 1, 2, and 3. That's my story. Pete, what was your deal?
Mine was kind of similar. Again, it was kind of muddled by the toys.
Because you're old.
I've got at least a year on you. But mine was as well muddled by the toys, because I remember very distinctly getting one of the first toys that I got was Tatooine Luke. And, that's obviously from A New Hope, but the one I have, the only one I really have a conscious memory of is going to see Return of the Jedi. So, but I remember kind of all of them together. I can't really distinguish, the time period where I can't remember back to where I was newly indoctrinated into the films.
Yeah.
And I think if I had to decide how I would introduce it to someone who hadn't seen it, I would still start with 4, 5, and 6.
I would
just
too.
Because I think the way that the story is told really lends itself to kind of starting in the middle and then going back to the beginning. And there's a lot of successful films that do that in different ways. I mean, it's not such a gigantic story, but there is a lot of successful franchises that do that way. And I think that really is still the way that it holds up.
Does that answer the question?
Yeah. Another thing, where is it? I think they were talking about the age difference thing.
Pete's older than I am.
Not the age, age and preference of saga.
Oh, right, right.
And I know, speaking for myself, I'm 16, but I still prefer the original trilogy.
Oh, interesting. Okay. You're 15 and you still prefer the OT?
16.
Oh, 16. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. I would say that you're probably not the norm for your generation. All the, everything that we see really, or at least the ones that are vocal saying, hey, wait a minute, we prefer the prequel trilogy.
Well, and to that end, I would also say that we did get a lot of emails this week from people of our generation saying, hey, I did like the prequels. I really think they were pretty good and they did hold up. So
yeah,
I would just say that the overwhelming, I would say the impassioned people, the ones that really feel very strongly about the original trilogy is the only trilogy, that's the only one that we're going to talk about, the other ones don't hold up at all, or the opposite, I think tend to be generationally conducive with the movies.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah. There will be a paper that I will be submitting to the Harvard Business Review on this, so you can read that later. It's sure to get published.
Did you have another question?
Devman115 wants me to ask a favorite video game. I'm assuming Star Wars related.
Ooh. Gosh.
Favorite video game. That's
like
be a
of
tough
all
one for
time.
You.
That's it. Well, I have played my share of video games.
All right.
Probably. Well, my favorite memory of a Star Wars video game, I'm gonna put it that way, was one Christmas. I had a buddy of mine that was visiting from out of town. I don't get to see him very often, and it was when the Super Nintendo was coming out, or was out, and they had Super Star Wars. And for the Super NES back in the day. He's like, yeah, I don't remember that at all. I wasn't born yet. But anyway, and we stayed up all night playing that stupid game. So when I look, because I'm not a big gamer, but when I look back and think about like Star Wars video games, that's a memory that I cherish. We had too much fun playing that stupid game. But as far as like a favorite game, just in general, I'd have to say it doesn't get much better than Battlefront 2.
Yeah.
I mean, 'cause you could just, you know, you don't have to worry about playing out a certain storyline or anything. You can just go in there and whoop some, rear.
As far
one thing
as
I missed from Battlefront 1.
What's that?
That's actually one thing I missed. I love Battlefront 2, but there's actually one thing I missed from Battlefront 1. And that would have to be both Bespin levels.
Yeah, I did like it. There were some levels that I wish they would have included on Battlefront 2, but you know, you got to go explore new planets and that type of thing. As far as a pick up and play game, nothing beats Battlefront 2. But if I had to go with a favorite game of mine, it's Knights of the Old Republic, the first one. The role playing and the story and the way they introduced you into the entire universe and the options that you had and the different ways you could take it. I just thought that was a blast. I had so much fun. That's one of the few games that I've played multiple times all the way through. And, you know, I played it to play the light side, the dark side, to have two lightsabers, to have a dual bladed lightsaber, use force powers.
My wife's brother, he is not a Star Wars fan by any stretch. In fact, he likes to kind of tease me about it. Dog on Star Wars all the time. He loved Knights of the Old Republic. Couldn't stop playing it. Couldn't stop. He loved it. So
it's a great game.
Those are great questions. We've got a couple more callers. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Join us next week. Okay, bud?
Okay.
All right. You are on with the Forcecast. Who's this?
This is Nate.
Hey, Nate. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. I just have a quick question for you guys.
Yeah.
I want to hear how you guys met, how you first got together.
It's going back to that whole age thing.
Yeah, right.
There's been a lot of confusion with tonight's show.
Yeah, actually, Pete and I are pretty darn close in age. we met the very first time we met. I was in a band, and I was playing at this little jazz lounge called the Cité Grill. And yes, Cité Grill, not City Grill. And Pete was there with a friend of mine. He showed up, and I was on stage and doing kind of a little Frank Sinatra lounge routine. And my friend walks in with this guy. I never met this guy before, and so I started kind of giving him business from stage, like, "Hey, who's this guy she just walked in with?" Ha 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 ha. And you know, I talked to Pete just a couple of times that night, and I thought, well, that's going to be it. Fast forward, probably what, four years later, maybe 5 years later, we ended up working together. And now that girl that he walked in with is his fiance,
yes,
that friend of mine. So it's really, funny how, that's happened.
Well, and what really made it, and they would have never let this happen if they knew what it was going to be, was the place we worked, they opened up the cubicles that we work at. We worked in a cubicle farm, and they took all the walls away to improve camaraderie. So they put us in two cubes right across from each other with no walls, so we would sit there and talk constantly.
Well, just what you're hearing on the show.
Yeah.
We would be talking just like this all day long. And people would be around us, and they'd be laughing, and they would not be doing their work. They'd be paying attention to us. And they finally had to split us up, like it's study hall now.
Yeah.
And so they split us up big time, put us in different districts. And then we had our respective managers kind of fighting with each other. It was very, very strange. I got out of the situation, which I think helped Pete a little bit.
It will make a great movie one day because of how ridiculous the whole situation was. But that was it. Friends for life.
Yeah, absolutely. All right.
I think we need a microcast with Jason on there.
What's that?
I think we need a microcast with Jason.
Oh, you need me to do
doing a microcast? Routine.
Oh, what?
I will tell you, and I will tell you this as both a friend and an unbiased observer, Jason is a fantastic singer with a fantastic voice, and really, I've had a lot of fun going around and listening to him. He doesn't do it as often as I wish he would nowadays, but
I gave it up for the Forcecast.
Well, you're a busy man, and if you had to give it up for anything, as long as it's for the Forcecast, I'm right. Cool. But he does have a fabulous singing voice and a fabulous performance voice, and maybe one day we can get him to release some of the tracks from the archives of the Jason the Annals. Yes.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, over my dead. Maybe that's what we'll do for our year anniversary show.
There we go. Or the next
Jason
April
sings
Fools.
The hits, right? Yeah. that'd be good. That'd be good. What else you got, Nate? Anything?
No, I'm good.
All right, man. Hey, thanks for calling in, and thanks for being here every week. We really appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
All right. We got another call here. You're on with the Forcecast. Who's this? Hello. Oh, as soon as I hit talk, he hung up.
Oh, all
right.
That's the first time that's happened. You know,
that is.
We've got all these things that are common with talk radio, as Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, wait a minute. He's back. Wait a minute. All right.
I had a good funny quote coming.
Okay. Hello. You're on with the Forcecast.
Hey,
yeah.
Hi.
Hey.
This is Zach. I'm just kind of, I've sent you guys a couple of emails before, and I was just going to say, I actually, the only Star Wars movie I've seen in theaters was Episode 3, and I've only seen it once.
The only Star Wars movie you've seen in the theaters is Episode 3?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And you saw it one time?
Yeah. Yes.
You've since seen it on video? Or...
Right, yeah.
Okay.
But I would have to say I do like the original trilogy, and I agree with all the, you know, but I don't know if anybody's read any of the books, like the novelizations for, say, 1, 2, and 3 especially.
Uh-huh.
The character, the character development is, like, amazing, I think, in books.
I would agree. I haven't read a lot of the EU novels. I have read every novelization of the films, all six, and reread. I think I've reread all of them at least twice, with the exception of Sith. I need to go back and reread Sith. But you're absolutely right. There's so much more meat to the stories that you just can't, you know, you just can't get across in 2.5 hours of film.
Yeah. I have to say, though, Battlefront 2 is probably the best. I like KOTOR a lot, too. KOTOR and Battlefront.
Those are your two favorites?
Yeah, definitely. Those are good, so.
If you don't mind my asking, how old are you?
I'm 15.
You're 15. So. Okay. And you saw Sith, and what made you go see Revenge of the Sith? Had you seen Star Wars films before?
I think I had seen all five. Yeah, I had seen all five. Actually, one of my friends just introduced me to Star Wars when we first met, and so I believe I had seen, or at least, I didn't see the first two, but then I think after the end of the Clone, I ended up seeing all of them before I went to Episode 3. But then I went to Episode 3 the day after, so, I mean, every time I watch that one, that's the one, you know, I just get all, that's the one that, that's,
It's always going to mean a lot to you, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's cool, and I think that's, I mean, I had the, you know, a very similar situation happen with me, so... That's great, man. It's great that, you know, you don't have to have experienced all or most of the films in the theater to be a fan. We know you're a fan if you're calling a Star Wars podcast.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
If you're listening to us, you're definitely a fan. So.
Right.
Totally.
All right. Hey, well, thanks for calling and thanks for being here.
Oh,
and
sure.
And make sure you join us again, okay?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for the podcast.
Well, you're very welcome. Oh. We've got another caller here. So,
thanks, Zach.
You are on with the Forcecast. Hello.
Hi, guys. It's Eric from Maryland.
Hey, there he is. Eric from Maryland. We were just talking about you.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, weren't
we? I only just got here. I had some computer problems, but I just wanted to ask a quick question.
Sure.
Are you guys obviously, you know, about the new PSP game. you know, the Renegade Squadron. Are you guys planning to buy that? Does it look good to you guys? Because I have a PSP, and I'm not sure if I want to buy it or not.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that. We've actually we've been talking to the folks over at LucasArts, and we're looking at putting together something to coincide with the release of that game. We're not exactly sure yet, so we're going to have a lot of information on that game in the next couple of weeks. So I don't know a whole lot about it. Again, you know, as you know, Eric, I'm not a big gamer. Pete's more of the gamer. And I don't know, Pete, you think it's a good... I mean, if well, it follows the same...
It's the same Battlefront-style game. So if you like that at all, you're going to like this. They really have made some major upgrades as far as what you can do with the characters. Basically, you're playing the same character throughout the whole thing. You're just able to interchange whatever attributes you want them to have. So if you want to have a clone trooper with a jetpack and a regular blaster, you can do that, as opposed to having to have the specific weapon that goes with a specific type of trooper or vice versa. I don't know if there'll be troopers in there, but I'm just using that as an example. but, you know, that's kind of a major upgrade that they've done, and there's a lot of other things that are in store. And so once we have a couple of the guys on, I think you'll really, really see that as far as PSP goes, this is really going to push the envelope, and it's going to be a real popular game, I think.
Maybe they'll put it out for the iPhone. That's the only.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, man. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say congratulations on your one-year anniversary. Oh,
man. Thank you. That's very cool. It's technically, we haven't made it yet. We've got another show to do, but
we don't want to stumble before the finish line.
You know what? We should tell them we're not going to be here next week.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yes. We better throw that out there right now.
We should. We're actually going to be in Chicago for the premiere of The Force Among Us. So we're going to be reunited with our good friends, Chris and Courtney Mocht and Glenn and Jimmy Mack. We're going to get to see him again finally. It's been a long time since C4, at least it feels that way.
Yeah.
So we're all going to be together, and then we are going to do a show next week. There will be a Forcecast next week, but it won't be a live show, and we'll be, I believe, recording it from the satellite Forcecast studio in in Chicago. If Jimmy's boss allows him.
If he can sneak us in the back door.
Right, exactly. Thanks for reminding us of that, Eric.
Oh, you're welcome. Sure.
So, anything else?
Oh, no, that's it. You guys have a great show and keep up the great work.
Well, that means a lot. Thank you so much.
Eric, for starting us off on Thought Market. I've already had a blast with it. So.
Yeah, we talked about Thought Market. Thank you. Pete, what are we up to now?
We're at 465.
Look what you started.
Yeah, well, I try, so that's great about that. So,
all right, man. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Eric. We'll talk to you later.
All right. That's nice. Getting wished a
happy one year. It's hard to believe it's almost been a year.
Golly.
And if we look at the whole process, it's been over the year, so wow.
Yeah. Wow. Dustin made us wait all summer long.
It wasn't his fault.
That's true. It wasn't. He was on it. If it wasn't for Dustin, we wouldn't be here.
Yes.
So and Jay and Dan Curto and and Jimmy and just everybody. I mean, this couldn't do it without.
Don't get
the
all nostalgic.
Team.
Yeah, we haven't hit 1 year
yet. Getting weepy.
So.
Single tear. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. My, what a show. The Gremlins were out tonight.
They were in everything.
Well, we want to thank you for joining us, especially those of you that put up with the live show at TalkShoe.com. We know that the sound quality isn't the best in the world, but boy, you sure came through with the calls and had a great chat going, so we appreciate that. Join us not next week, but the following week for another live show. Pete and I will be on the road next week, but we'll have a Forcecast for you just the same. Coming down to you every Friday via iTunes and theforce.net and rebelscum.com, so check it out. If you can't join us live, there are lots of ways to participate in the show. Pete?
Well, you can always email us at podcast@theforce.net, and we do read them all. We may not get back to you right away. We may not get back to you in a month. We may not get back to you ever, and we apologize for that. We always try to, but we definitely do read all of them, so thank you very much for that. Also, if you want to Skype us, you can do that at username ForceCast. You could think I would know how to say it after a year. Username ForceCast. You can also leave us a voicemail at 330-8714-TFN. Check out our forums at rebelscum.com. There's always lots of stuff going on there. You can get in to the action on your being with a very own ForceCast merchandise, shirts, T-shirts, hats, tote bags, whatever you can find. That's available at cafepress.com.
Wall clocks, I think.
I think we need one of those.
Yeah.
CafePress.com. Also, write us reviews at iTunes or TalkShoe. Head on over to Dig. Go to Podcast Alley. Or check out the new Thought Market, THOTmarket.com. Just a fun way to haggle with your friends about the stock price of theforcecast.com, which is rising rapidly. So if you want to get in, you need to get in on the ground floor right now. So head on over to Thought Market. And any way you join us on the ForceCast, we really appreciate it.
And we do appreciate all of the team members that make this show possible. I want to thank Official Picks again. Thank you, Dustin Roberts. Thank you, Jay Shepard, Dan Cardone, especially Jimmy Mack for all the great sounds that he pipes down for us every week. And thank you guys most of all for being here every week. We love you guys. For the ForceCast, I'm Jason.
And I'm Pete.
And remember,
the Force will be with you always.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of the Force.net LLC unless otherwise indicated.